Hey folks, Alex Lokes here, and this is the March episode of Classic Camera Revival.
Coming to you live from Toronto, Canada, this is the Classic Camera Revival. If you don't have gear acquisition syndrome now, you certainly will after listening to our show.
This digital age, everyone and their mother has either a smartphone, a digital SLR, a compact digital system camera, or evil camera, electronic viewfinder, interchangeable lenses. Yeah? Evil? Mm-hmm. Evil. But we as film shooters have cameras that, I mean, you have the SLRs that look like your average digital camera, but we also have TLRs, Hasselblads, large format cameras.
Pocket folders.
Exactly. And they stand out these days, and oftentimes we have conversations with complete strangers. We get out of situations. We get into situations. So we're just going to have a nice little round-the-table talk about the interesting stories we've experienced here in the digital age. So we're going to start with Mr. Bill Smith.
Thanks, Alex. I had two experiences. I'm going to start with the negative experience first. About 12 years ago, I was shooting in Kensington Market with a friend on a Sunday morning in probably mid-May. It was quiet, and I was shooting with an Olympus OM-1, 51.8 lens. I was traveling really light, and, you know, it was great street shots. There was some guys hanging outside of a coffee shop at the corner of Baldwin and I think Augusta, I want to say. Well, one gentleman, a young guy with a really, probably the world's worst looking mohawk you can imagine, comes bounding across the street and demanded I take the film out of my camera. And it was one of those guys that you look at him and it's like, you're trying to be a street tough, but you sure as heck don't look it. But I'm not going to push my luck because I don't know if your friends are awake.
Was the mohawk pink?
No, it was more like this sort of teal greenish blue, and it was just at a point I just
must have been the 80s then.
I did not pack my knicker mat with me, so I did not have a handheld weapon. I just took the roll of HP5 out and I just dropped it in front of him. I didn't even hand it to him. I just dropped it into the gutter saying, you can pick it up if you want it that bad. I'm not wasting my time with you. That was my nightmare experience, and it's funny enough, I refuse to shoot in Kensington Market to this day.
Don't blame you.
It's just, yeah, great photographic opportunities, but the locals can be a little
weird.
Special.
Yeah, you might as well just take the film out, drop it, and just don't get your knicker mat in a knot.
No. But I had a great experience, and of all places, New York City, and you'd think, you know, and I was shooting with a Rolly cord. I was down there visiting my brother back in 2012. I just did a run to B&H to roll stock up on film, and I was walking along 34th Street. I guess you could sort of call it extreme southern Hell's Kitchen or very north Chelsea, depending which real estate agent you talk to. I had one woman come up, hey man, it's a beautiful camera. My father used to own one like it, and we were just chatting away. And then a second experience, and I think it was like a few blocks later, this guy, straight out of like a 1970s Lou Reed song, complete with the biker jacket, he just looked at me going, cool camera.
Nice.
And I just like, okay, that just made my day.
Trevor, you probably have some interesting stories for us.
How long do we have?
I'll make it quick.
Yeah, nice and short.
The
5 minute quickie.
The most dangerous situation I accidentally got into was I was in Mexico City with my dad. We were on vacation and I was taking lots of kind of street photography, and a huge protest was happening in the main square in front of the old church and the government building. And so I saw all these people gathering with these banners and protest signs and everything, and I thought, oh, this is going to be great. So I was taking photos and photos, and the crowd got bigger and bigger, and I kept backing up to get a wider shot, and I kind of felt something on my back. I turned around, and there's a Federale, a whole line of Federale with guns in hand and said, "Donato fotografia vamus." And I'm like, okay, fine. So I stepped back a bit, took one last quick shot of this guy with his gun, and then tried to work my way through the crowd. But the crowd thought I was part of some journalistic thing that was trying to exploit them, so they weren't letting me through the crowd. So first I have the federales on one side with guns saying no more photos, and then an angry mob not letting me through. So it was a tense situation. I just kind of like snuck off to the side and worked my way through the crowd, put my camera down, put it away, and made sure I didn't seem threatening or anything like that. But I still have about two or three photos from that protest that are in my portfolio. But whenever I'm with a film camera, it doesn't matter if I'm at a tourism area like Niagara Falls, New York, Niagara Falls or New York, London, England, Paris, wherever. People think, oh, he has a film camera. He knows what he's doing. Excuse me. Do you mind taking our photo? And I was just recently in Paris.
Yeah, that's very true.
Everybody and their brothers like, well, he shoots film. He knows what he's doing. Here, take our photo. So, and it's funny. It's often I kind of quickly scroll through some of the previous photos that they take. I was like, oh, yeah, this guy does not know what film flash means. Bink, hit the button. Okay, everyone smile, click. And then they're like, these me are amazing. And I turn off the film flash thing again. So they think it was just me.
Nice.
She's cheating.
If I let them know our secret, professional photographers will never get work again.
True. Exactly. Maybe some of the professionals should not get work again. Yeah.
Yeah. Mike, how about you?
Me, experience shooting film. Well, experiencing shooting in general is one thing. I mean, I've shot digital on the street. I've shot film on the street. My favorite experience to this day was the Irving Tissue Plant in Toronto, just around Jane and Weston Road. And one of the things I was doing is I was just playing around with my my old Canon AE-1. I'd thrown a 24mm lens and a red filter, and I took a few photos of the plant. Security stops me and says, "Sorry, sir, you can't take photos of the plant. It's private property." So I asked him, I'm like, "Yeah, but I'm on public property. I'm taking a photo of on public property of a private enterprise. I'm not peeking through the windows. I'm not stealing any kind of ideas or anything. It's in public view."
Canadian law is on your side on that one.
Exactly. But the security guys continues to go on, "No, it's private property. You can't use these photos. You might as well not take them." So I asked him a really simple question. I said, "Well, what about Google? Google comes down all the streets with their little Google car and their 360 camera, and they take photos of every single place." His response, "Oh, it's Google." So having something along the lines of $100 billion in your bank account makes it okay to take photos wherever willy-nilly, but the average Joe on the street on public property taking photos can't. I kind of understand where he's coming from, but at the same time, I mean, to say, "Oh, it's Google," versus just someone that is completely nondescript on the street, just taking a couple photos of a building. And it wasn't so much that there's anything fancy about the building, but one of the things is they use a lot of water, and with a lot of water comes a lot of steam. It was in the early afternoon, middle of winter, using steam, bright blue skies. I mean, you can do the math. I had a red filter on. I'm looking for heavy contrast, nice billowing steam coming out the top of the stacks and onto a nice bright blue sky. How much better can it get?
Absolutely.
So, but one of the nicer things that I've had that have happened actually was on Toronto Film Shooters Meetup Walk that we had. And I'm sure Alex can actually remember this day. It was a couple of homeless guys had come up to me, and I was walking around with my Rollercord at the time before its untimely incident. And they came up and said, "Hey, you have an old-timey camera. How about you want to take a nice old-timey photo of us two?"
Yeah, and I remember that.
They, those two guys posed. I'm pretty sure I have the photo. Maybe I'll see if I can it linked in the show notes. That made my day. And the other one was when I came out of a building and a guy happened to see the exact same camera, the Rollercord, and he walks up and he says, "Is that a Hasselblad?" I mean, the very fact that he knew Hasselblad was impressive, but the fact that he was looking at a TLR and considering it a Hasselblad, he
obviously didn't know the agreement that Hasselblad and Rolleiflex had at the time that those cameras were made.
Yeah. Donna, anything to add? Anything to share? No?
Okay. No, what about that wonderful old lady that completely interrupted your experience shooting film because you were coming to her aid and being a very good Samaritan?
Oh, I don't right. recall that one.
It was on Gerrard Street.
Oh. I remember that now. So we were walking on the street, and there was a little old lady that had fell, and she had apparently had fallen on these. They had skids of stuff out in front of this Asian store. It was a little fruit market, and the lady had fell, and she hit her head and her elbow, and it was pretty bad. So I basically went in, got some ice and put it on her head and was trying to get someone to explain to her to stay still and not to move. And we called the ambulance for the ambulance to come and to help her.
And of all the people and of all the people around, by the very fact that we happen to have a film group all met up and walking through, she was no one had stopped to help this poor lady.
That's right.
Except for us.
Yeah.
And I mean, that's one thing I find with the film community. Just that was a perfect example. We're always out there to help others.
Yep.
It was myself and Nancy that had stopped to help her.
That's right. Yeah. Yep. Yeah. No. I've been on photo walks with digital shooters. I've been on photo walks with film photographers, and I prefer film photographers. We're a much more friendly group, less adversarial with each other than
pixel peeping.
Than digital.
Jimbing!
Yeah.
James!
Did I get the shot?
Yeah, there's a huge difference, I find, between shooting with film shooters and versus digital. Like, shooting with a bunch of digital people, I guess it's that whole perception of instant gratification, but everyone's jumping over you, climbing over your shoulders, and, like, it's just insane when you shoot with a group of digital folks. They're nuts. Compared to the analog folks, it's such a more pleasant experience.
And with the digital ones, I find that when you're in a group, everyone ends up taking a variation of the exact same shot.
Yeah, and you know what sucks about digital groups? They spend all their money on a bunch of useless gear that doesn't make them better, and then they have no money to drink after the shoot.
Exactly.
So
yeah, that's anyway. A major problem, or they shoot those digital Leicas and leave the lens cap
on. Whereas we plan our outings around the closest pub. So,
well, the most important chemical in film photography is ethyl alcohol.
Well, when I plan a photo walk, I start it with coffee and it ends with beer.
There you go. Yep. Exactly.
Yeah, that's pretty much all our photo walks, especially yes. in the winter, is we start coffee, get to lunch, and next thing we know, it's usually too cold in the winter, so we're like, you know what, let's just finish it with a good cold beer.
Yeah. All that coffee, all that beer, then we all end up having our own stop back.
There you go. Oh, my God.
Oh, going back to the film in the urinal.
Oh, boy. In terms of interesting experiences, I haven't had too many like really bad people experiences when I'm out shooting, either film or digital, but with film, certainly, I think I got to say, it's got to be the role of Flex that has that draws the most attention. And I think a lot of people become, more aware or hyper aware, sadly, of who Vivian Mayer was. And they see a Rolleiflex and, they want to chew your ear off, which is a good thing because I think it, promotes film. But in terms of my one that I would sort of classify in a bad experience, I had just purchased on the Sunday, Trevor was with me actually, I had just purchased my Fuji GX683. Which we talked about a few episodes ago, which is a monstrosity of a camera up here in Canada. Our weather is pretty much the same thing. It rains, it freezes, and then it snows on top of the ice that's frozen on the ground. So I decided to take this monstrosity of a camera into a hike into Hilton Falls, which is a hike, about a 2-kilometer hike into a really picturesque waterfall around here.
Unless there's ice on the steep hill going up into it.
Right, and there's that. And so, literally, about 30 feet onto the trail, going up the hill, I am ass over tea kettle, fell back, hit the back of my head, smashed my brand new Fuji GX683, cost me about $400 to have the waist level finder replaced.
Yep.
And I was fortunate enough to find a BD intense screen ground glass for it, which hence the extra dollars. But I had didn't even get a chance to squeeze off one single frame yet. And that happened. So be careful if you're out hiking in the woods. Yeah. Film gear is big and bulky, so be careful with that. In terms of really good experiences, this actually happened on one of the last outings we did in Ellora. We had arrived in the morning.
Oh, yeah.
And,
at the coffee shop.
And we were sitting around the coffee shop just taking a break, and an old gentleman there who's a local resident, he said, oh, that's, I don't know, whatever we had on the table. I think I had a Pentax 67.
Yeah.
And, you know, we just got to talking, and he's like, oh, I used to shoot large format, and I have a Hasselblad or an RBE or something like that. And so, you know, we were just having a nice, good old chit-chat in the coffee shop. We, you know, our group had split off to finish off the afternoon, finish up the morning. And we had taken a little hike into the gorge, and we were coming back, and lo and behold, this gentleman, we were walking past his house, and he's a busker part time, so he sings and busks in the street. He invited me into his house on the way back, showed me his portfolio of prints, and showed me his old cameras. And you know what? I got to tell you that with most photographers in general, I've never had an issue when it came to film photography, and I have experienced it in the digital world where people don't like to share as much in the digital world, but in film, everyone shares. And he showed me, and he talked about the vantage point of all these beautiful, beautiful images that he had taken. So I'm definitely going back. There's a bunch of construction going on right now.
It's
in the town of Ellora.
Yeah, they are still working on the mill that's there, but the street has opened up so you can walk through it. So the last time he showed me some
of these images that he'd taken and the time, and we talked about the time of day and what the lighting's going to look like. Just extremely helpful, incredible, like old guy. He could probably, I would say, early 80s. I would say.
He's the owner of that coffee shop.
Oh, really? Interesting.
Yeah, I think so.
Oh, and anyway, just a fantastic human being. And you know what? Like, that's the gear. It's nostalgic. It brings back a lot of memories. It's a great icebreaker. If you ever want to get out and you like to talk to people and socialize, it's such a friendly way to do environmental and street photography, I think. So.
Definitely. Definitely.
Well, I'll add a couple of things, just like a couple of very short stories. And then there's one that we haven't really touched yet, but I'm sure is common to each of us. I was in Kensington Market, and I've also had run-ins with people there. I tend not to shoot there very much anymore. But I was in Kensington Market, and I was shooting with my baby Speed Graphic. Well, it's not mine anymore because a certain relative of a certain co-host of the show bought it via, it's been around a bit.
It got around. It really got around.
It's been around. It has some history.
Village Bicycle comes to mind.
Everyone gets a ride.
And so what happened in this one of the situations?
We were all in and out of it.
This is a story where, you ever had the case where you think of the perfect comeback line 5 minutes too late, and I filed it away, hoping to use it again. So some idiot, I think it was in his 20s, walking by and said, not menacingly, and not really too scornfully, but just he thought he was being funny. He said, hey, the 1950s called. They want their camera back. And if it ever happens again, my response will be, oh, yeah, the land of the stupid called. They want to know when you're coming home. So that one, I thought of it 5 minutes too late. That's what it is.
Well, he was also maybe a decade off from when that camera was made, too.
Another good comeback would be the village called. They want their idiot back.
Yes.
That's a good one. I like that one.
And but I'd say most of the time, like, I've never had anyone come up and try and say, why are you wasting your time on digital or on film, rather? I've had, and again, like the Rolleiflex, if you want to have people talk to you and attract attention, twin lens reflex is the way to go. If I want to just go out there and shoot and not attract attention, I'll take a Nikon F4 because it looks like a digital camera from far away. The one thing, and it happens every time I'm out with one of my more obvious film cameras, and I'm sure it's happened to all of you, is someone will come up and ask, can you still get film for that camera? And I feel like saying, no, this is a 5-pound hipster necklace I like to wear in my ironic phase.
Oh, God, that's hilarious.
Well, the main story I have to share actually is combining almost every single story here. It involves security. twin lens reflex, and can you still get film for that? In a previous life, I enjoyed trespassing in abandoned buildings. I know, crazy. I now only do it legally, which is harder, but much more enjoyable because you're not looking over your shoulder waiting for that security guard. So I was in Toronto at the Richard L. Hearn Thermal Generating Plant, which is the big brick power station next to the new Portland generating station. Managed to get in, spent a couple hours in there with my Rolleiflex, shot a couple of rolls of film. As I'm walking out, there's the security guard. So I put my hands up in surrender and go, hey guys, yeah, you got me, thinking they were just going to tell me to buzz off. They didn't. They said, the police are on their way, right? You're coming with us. And then made to grab me, and I sort of back off and say, you touch me, I'm calling assault. Right? I've surrendered to you. You don't have to physically detain me. So this is a Sunday, late Sunday afternoon. So this grizzled old police sergeant shows up the security hut, and the security guard has already asked me, like, open up your backpack. And I know I don't have to, but I'm still trying, like, the more I comply, the less chance they are going to charge me on this one. So sitting out on the table, two rolls of film, and the Rolleiflex, and the tripod. And there I am, button-up shirt, U.S. Air Force greatcoat, nice pants. I don't look like a typical explorer that's in ripped jeans, leather jackets, tattoos, old combat boots, etc.
Urbex explorers.
Yes. The sergeant comes up, he takes one look at me standing there, takes one look at the security guard who is fuming at this point because I'm just not giving in to his attempts to rile me up and force a confrontation. And then he sees the Rolleiflex. He looks at it and goes, my father shot one of those, I think I still have it. I go, really? Great cameras, I really like mine. He's like, yeah. Can you still get film for it? And I look at him, oh yeah, absolutely. It takes 120 roll film. You know, you really want to take it out, I suggest Porter 400, which had just come out, or Kodak Tri-X. The camera will love them. Like, wow. Awesome. And the security guard at this point is ticked off and goes, I want him charged. I want trespass, break and enter. And the cop looks at me and says, how long were you inside, son? Well, you know, 2 hours, two and a half hours. And you weren't stopped on the way in? Nope. Looks at the security guard. You got to catch them before they get in. That's your job. And then he lets me go. And the security guard can't do anything right about it because of the way the Canadian law works around trespassing, right? It's obvious I didn't break in. One of the bay doors is open. I walked right in. So.
And when you left when you were asked.
You left when you were asked to leave.
Exactly. Yeah. I complied with the security guard. So.
And they can't touch you or take your stuff.
That's right. That's right. They can only meet the same amount of force that they are given. So if I'd made to grab them and physically assault them, they could do it back to me. But if I've surrendered, complied, they cannot lay a hand on me. Another story that I realized I'd answered this guy wrong was I was out shooting my Contax G2, and a guy sees me in the street and goes, oh, is that a mirrorless camera? And I look at him and go, no, actually, it's a film camera, realizing that, yes, actually, it is a mirrorless camera that just uses film. So... no, it is really enjoyable shooting film these days. You get to talk to a lot of interesting people. A lot of interesting people share stories with you. And again, film photo walks, you have such a variety of cameras, lenses, and films out there that even though everyone's shooting the same subject, everyone shoots it differently and it looks different based on the camera lens and film and how they develop it. It just gives you a lot broader view of the world and of how other photographers view the world. And yeah, we are a much friendlier group than your average digital photo walk.
Yeah, I have to agree that I find that the digital shooters can tend to be competitive, and and that we can be gear obsessed.
Oh,
but we I don't think we have as much of an illusion of, you know, buying the greatest camera or the newest, most expensive camera will automatically make your pictures.
That's right.
Better. I think we deal with failure better.
Yep. I mean, we can have a photo walk where someone's walking around with a Hasselblad and the next person has a Holga, right? The Hasselblad shooter doesn't look at the Holga and go, well, you suck.
Well, I think the what I think is the motivation is different.
Yep.
So I think when it comes to digital photography, the motivation is output. And it's purely output. And it's do whatever the hell you have to do. Piss off whoever you, you know, feel like pissing off to get your image, you know, and I think with film photography, it's more about the experience. And that comes from having, well, pretty much the widest selection of gear available, provided you can find it. Choosing your medium, so the type of film that you're using.
Yeah.
And then, you know, obviously your recipe for both developing and printing. So it's all experiential, I think, with That's film. Right. And that's what makes it enjoyable. And then if you meet people with a like-minded sense of that's desire right. for that experience, and you connect with those people, and, you know, hey, like, I mean, this is why we have a lot of growth organically of film podcasts,
yep.
film shooting groups, stores like Burlington Camera, Downtown Camera.
That's right.
Film Plus.
Argentix.
Like, yeah.
You have the Film Photography Project, Freestyle.
Yeah. You know, we have Kodak bringing back Ektachrome.
Ektachrome.
We have three or four brand new emulsions in the last couple of years.
That's right.
You know, so cult, if call it cult if you want, but I mean, I think, you know, the experience of shooting film and the ability to share that with others is really, to me, I think it's personally, it's my favorite part about shooting film.
Yeah.
And it brings back, for me, a purity in sort of the love of photography that I had. So I fell in love with photography because I loved watching the print appear on the paper.
Yeah. Pulling out that roll of film from the tank and going, wow, I made this.
Yeah.
Which is completely different from hitting a button and then plug it into your computer and going, well, yeah.
Yeah.
Of course, it looks pretty good, and a couple of tweaks on the slide bar, it'll look good.
And but, which I mean, of you're these 800 about, shots should
yeah.
I use?
Yeah, exactly.
And unless you're independently and infinitely wealthy,
you don't have the time to
you
go
don't
through
spray, You don't spray and pray in film. So.
No.
But you can talk about the diversity. I mean, just looking at the table right now, we've got a mixture of, like, we've got your Texas Hasselblad, we have a Pentax, we have a Minolta, we've got,
it's a Texas Leica, by the way. Come on.
Sorry. And these foldable cameras of Mike's and everything. And I would be more than happy to shoot with any one of these cameras on the table right now, going, ooh, that's going to be a different experience if I try this one in comparison to that one or that one or that one. And we're not sitting here going, oh, well, mine's better than yours. I was like, ooh, wow, would you bring, you know? And something's like, you know, 50 years older than my camera sort of thing. And it's really cool and fun to play with. So,
well, again, this is why I started the Toronto Film Shooters group, was out of a post on APUG where someone says, why isn't there more film photo walks in Toronto? Yeah. And I was expecting more veteran members of the forum to go like, oh, yeah, I'll start something. Mm-hmm. But no one did. No one did. I'm like, okay, you know what? I'll start it. 5 years on, still going.
Still going, yep. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
No, it's fantastic.
And at that very first one, I met Mike. I met John.
Hi. After you met Mike, you stuck with it?
He stuck with it, I know. Right?
Wow. It's weird.
That's fortitude.
Yeah.
He gave me a roll of PolyPan.
I gave him a roll of PolyPan.
Oh, that's where Mactar PolyPan came from.
That's where Mactar PolyPan came from. You know, it... One thing I noticed, I was listening to what Trevor was saying about the different cameras that are on the table, but I'm going to say one thing, and this is one thing that is I find is pretty common for whether we're film shooters or digital shooters. We all, every last one of us has a real respect and I guess kind of almost like our own kind of gear hard on towards Zeiss. And that's one thing that I'll really say something about shooting film is we can get Zeiss gear, like real Zeiss gear, for like pennies on the dollar compared to what they'd be paying for modern modern size glass.
Or at least dollars on the $1,000.
Dollars on basically.
News-size glass, like you can get news-size glass in Canon EF mount. You can get news-size glass and like F mount as well.
Right.
But you're spending some money for it. Same thing even for Zeiss glass for Leica M. It's like I have two Leica M mount rangefinders, and it's like, yeah, one of these days I'm going to get the 35 f/2 planar, maybe.
Because I've been looking at it. I've looked at Zeiss glass, and I mean, I kid you not, I've picked up Zeiss lenses for $20, and these things are just stunning. I mean, throw one on my X-Acta. I sold one to Bill's brother Alex, and he fell in love with that lens the second he put it onto his camera.
The Jenna.
It is just such stellar optics. And if you learn how to manipulate the depth of field, especially when you learn what the scale means, you can set it so that you set your focus in front and you adjust your depth of field from the aperture and you have it just fall off right past your subject. Mm-hmm. You can get unreal depth of field out of focus effects. Absolutely. using short lenses like 50 mil. I posted one photo from one of the Zeiss lenses, and one of the comments that was given to me on is, I can't believe you're getting that kind of depth of field out of a 50 mil.
Yeah.
Well, that about wraps it up for this show. If you want to join our little gang on a photo walk, we have our Classic Camera Revival meetup coming this fall in lovely downtown Cambridge, Ontario. And if you want to get more specific, the Galt section. It has beautiful 19th century, early 20th century architecture. There's a bit of urban decay mixed in. You have the river running nearby. And yes, we will start with coffee. And we will end with beer. So, my name's Alex Lokes. I'm signing off saying, keep it super positive.
This is Bill Smith. Ektachrome, come on over.
This is Trevor Black. Thank you.
This is Mike Bataxi. I know it's been kind of crazy with all of us, but I'd like to put a warm welcome out to Trevor. Anytime you want to come back, you're more than welcome.
Absolutely.
The contact stays here.
This is John Meadows. Go ahead. Ask me if I can get film for my camera. Make my day.
This is Donna Bataxi. Get out there and shoot more film.
This is James Lee. Shoot, soup, and sleep. And shoot some more. And then soup some more. And then sleep some more.
Beer.
Beer.